What is good, everyone, and welcome back to the Nostalgia for Nostalgia podcast. My name is Taylor, aka Nostalgia. Joining me is As Told by Zoe. What's good, my guy?
What's up?
Also joining me and not crying this time is Kalex Everything. How are you doing today?
I'm not sad. Yay! Wow, what an emotional roller coaster last week was.
Oh man, I listened to it back and it was insane. It was insane. Just before we get into whatever we get into today, I was listening back to it because mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, I wonder how it sounded. And I got to the point where we started talking about Jiro and Naoko's relationship. And when Zoe goes, she didn't want him to see her like that. I just hear you go,
I'm telling you, I think like someone should tally up the amount of times that they hear me like sniffling, crying, and like making like the oh like sounds in the background, because it's the whole time. I listened back to it too and I'm like, damn, Kayla, shut up, stop crying, woman up. And I couldn't do it. It was too painful, dude.
And then you were like, why are you guys smiling at me? It's so annoying.
You guys were like so fine. And I couldn't wrap my head around you guys just staring at me like this. Like, aw. Like, aw. She's so sad. Aw. And I, oh my God, I was sad, but I was also angry.
Calm down, but son. It's just a drawing.
They live with me forever. Man. But it did make me think, and I don't know if you guys would be cool with this, but what if as a grand finale we added Graveyard of the Fireflies to our lineup? Because I don't think it's in our lineup. And I gotta see it eventually.
It's not Miyazaki.
I know, but it's Ghibli, and it will make me violently cry.
We could do like a bonus, episode, extra Ghibli episode. Maybe we don't get to that one.
Yeah,
instead of Miyazaki magic, it could be Kayla's crying corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Kayla's crying corner.
No, I know I am not going to get not one word out. And I should watch that one right before we...
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to have to.
You're going to see me red.
Oh, my God. We have to. You cannot watch it before we go. Like, you have to watch it, like, the day of, like...
Yeah.
Right into recording.
We should watch it when you're down here and the three of us can cry together.
That'd be fun.
That'd be cool.
That'd be fun, I feel.
For sure. Okay, so welcome to part 7 of Miyazaki Magic. Today we are talking about Kiki's Delivery Service. I literally just got done watching it, like before we hit record. Zoe, same. Kayla, you watched it a little bit before we started recording. So, you know, we've been doing this for 7 weeks straight or whatever. I'll just kind of go on to some early thoughts about what you guys thought about the movie. Mm-hmm. Kayla, I'll start with you this time.
Yes.
As far as your initial thoughts after finishing the movie, what did you think?
So I had always been told that by every person who found out that I watch anime, they're like, well, your favorite movie has to be Kiki's Delivery Service, right? And I get why. I get why. It's very whimsical, magical. The music's cute. Her outfit's adorable. I also believe in like little magic witches and things. But I didn't see this until I was a full grown adult. I didn't see this till this year for the first time. This would have changed my entire personality as a child. I know that for a fact. So maybe it's better that I saw it now as a fully functional adult. But this movie is cute. And then I will get, when we get there, when we get to the end, we can yell about the end and how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, beautiful, precious movie. No complaint. It's a fun watch.
Yeah.
I just put this on my Letterboxd. And I'm known for writing longer reviews when I like a movie. All I put for this was I hate to sound like a straight white male, but as a straight white male, this movie is all right.
Dang.
It's...
Oh, so, you guys both gave it threes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. Because, it's obviously, fine. The animation is... The animation. It's great.
Doing what it's doing.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And I like... Because this one's a little bit older, from 1989... It gives off this like nostalgic feeling, even though I've never seen the movie. It like reminded me somewhat of The Brave Little Toaster. It's like, I don't know why.
Where?
They're not the same at all. In fact, The Brave Little Toaster is kind of traumatizing.
Right. It didn't remind me of, you know, it reminded me of Brave Little Toaster, not because there are living animatronic, you know, creatures, or not because it's absolutely traumatizing, and not
over. It's like one of those movies you watch as a kid because it's a kid's movie, and because it's old, because, you know, of our ages, it's an older movie.
Okay.
So it just gives off that like older feeling.
Crazy, though, that Brave Little Toaster was your choice, because that movie shouldn't be for children. It is actually traumatizing, and what made me feel pain for inanimate objects. So, no.
It doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't. I just thought, okay, in the middle of it, because of the grain, I was like, oh, Brave Little Toaster looks like this.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah,
I get you. The grain...
the actual like aesthetic of the movie, not the being
story,
presented.
not the story,
or the theme, or the creators, or the producers.
No,
just the grain.
Yeah,
yeah, just the aesthetic for sure. Well, yeah. So I gave it a three. I thought it was a solid, wholesome story. There are some things within the story that I was not a fan of, and some things in the ending that didn't necessarily really get resolved, I guess. And it just, and I like the theming of the story, and like what Miyazaki was trying to say, at least from my interpretation, with Kiki's magic ability and her ability to fly being like a metaphor for like your creativity,
like writer's block or something.
And how like creative block kind of happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's important that, like, you know, for all three of us, that we are all like creative people that have created things. Mm-hmm. And we sometimes get that block where we don't feel either confident in our creations, or we don't feel like we are creating meaningful things or doing something with a purpose. And so I think, you know, I don't know. Did they ever give the name of the lady that lived in that shack, or no?
Ursula.
Like when Ursula tells Kiki, like, sometimes you might have to take a break, kind of refind your inspiration. That's probably more beneficial to you in terms of like regaining your magic ability. And, you know, she ends up gaining it at the end of the movie. And, you know, with 25 minutes left in the movie, I might add.
Right. Hey, it's not 15. We've been saying 15. It's 25.
When she realize that Gigi can't speak to her anymore, and she realized her magic can't come back. Is it coming back, or she lost her magic? I, like, in real time, I clicked my remote. I just hit pause button and go, what time is it on the clock? What is the time stamp of this movie right now?
This is the most noticeable. Because also another crazy comparison, when she starts losing her ability to fly, I go, oh, Spider-Man 2. But the difference is, that's like the whole point of Spider-Man 2, that he's losing his powers.
Right.
It's the whole movie.
Okay.
This one, it happens at the end.
Okay. You're talking about Tobey Spider-Man. I thought for a second you meant like Into the Spider-Verse, and I was going,
no.
Huh?
No, no. No, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 2, where he takes the elevator because he can't swing anymore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just like, it's, oh man, do we want to get into the ending this early, or do you want to like start in different places?
I'll start with stuff that I did like. I like that immediately off the bat, like, she's a witch and her mom's a witch and people know witches exist. Like, Yes. It's not this like Disney Channel. Well, I'm just going to be comparing this to so much shit. It's not like the Disney Channel 13th year where it's like, oh, you're secretly a mermaid and no one can find out. And
that was my life. That was my life. You don't understand. Just because you mentioned it, sure. I truly believed until I was like 7 years old that when I turned 13, my mermother was going to come for me. And I would tell my mom, I'm like, listen, I know that I'm your daughter because you raised me, but my mer mama in the sea. And I would prepare for the change. I used to like make sure my feet always touched in the water to be like fins. I was truly convinced. And then when I had the realization that it wasn't going to happen, I was broken. Oh, it was God. Me, the 13th year, Johnny Tsunami, Wave Girls.
Oh my
they
God,
lied
dude.
To me. Guys, I really thought I was going to be a mermaid. Anyway, that's the magic I wanted to see in the world. But
holy shit, okay.
Yes, very
I like
real.
That people that... knew that she was a witch. Yeah. That's my main point.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. And her dad's like a normal guy. Mm-hmm. And I think the only, like, witches are only women. So no warlocks in this world. You're a woman, you become a witch. Very quickly, the first other witch that we see besides her mom and her grandma, that little girl who's like flying over, does she not have a striking resemblance to the character in Jujutsu Kaisen who also flies on a broom and has the exact same pigtails?
Is her name like Mai or something? Hold on.
I know who you're talking about. She's part of the other school.
She's the other school. She looks just like her to me.
I mean, they probably did it on purpose.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
And because they're like both a little stuck up.
Momo. Yeah, they're both like a little snootier. They're you know, they're the long range people, you know. Yeah. It's
holy
just
shit,
kinda,
they have the exact same pigtails.
It's the exact same pigtails. I was like, I see you, Jujutsu Kaisen. I see what you did. That's very fun that you did that.
Yeah, that's fun.
And she also flies on a broom, so it works. And I think she also has like a one color dress.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Yeah. It's so good.
If I could show y'all on the screen here, if it'll show.
Yeah, it shows.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the same. It's the same.
Yeah, that's cool though. But yeah, she was like, she was so mean. I was like,
she
damn,
was
girl,
so
like,
mean. But you know, it's to toughen her up. And she's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing to make money? You're thinking about what your power should be. You're behind." And it was very like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, I was like, damn. I mean, part of me was like, when she first started and she got to the town, even before, like during that interaction,
yeah,
and then when she got to the town too, I was like, her parents must be awful because you're bringing this child. The child has no money, no identification, mm-hmm. and you're sending her off for this fucking witch mitzvah situation, and you're not preparing her for real life,
right?
She has to get to the hotel, and she's like, "I need to stay here." And they're like, "Oh, do you have any identification?" And she's like, "Oh, never mind. What do you mean?"
Right.
She also kind of threw it on them because she was supposed to leave a month later.
Right.
Yeah. True. That is true.
Yeah, she was supposed to leave a month later, and it's also that she decided that she wanted a town like by the sea, and that one happened to be one that hadn't seen a witch there in a very long time.
Yeah.
But they just used that moment to build her up to be with her, you know, her ocean mother, which is the
her mermother,
who lives in that beautiful little house. I'm obsessed with that mom character. I forgot her name. Yes. Is that her?
She's the one that's
pregnant. Mm-hmm. Her and her bread husband.
Obsessed. They don't even give him a name. He has no lines.
He just
grunts the entire time.
He's like the big dad or the big guy from Fullmetal Alchemist that has the skinny little wife and he's ginormous. And he's like him and Armstrong, like we're like, yeah, men. He doesn't talk ever.
True.
But I do love the little wink that he gives Gigi. I was like, okay, Brett Dad, I see you.
Yeah.
Your personality.
Yeah, yeah.
The little sign he makes.
Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful bread sign.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yes, for sure. It was cute. I just, and then, I mean, obviously the the soundtrack. We're just going to go get this in the boat already. Soundtrack, awesome.
Joe Hisaishi.
Similar. Yep, Hisaishi. Similar in approach and style as like Wind Rises. You know what I'm saying? In terms of like...
European.
European, mm-hmm. but also, you know... I think what Hisaishi does, and you've touched on this before, Zoe, is he definitely makes each soundtrack sound like the area it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not so much with Ponyo, but with this one specifically, the soundtrack sounds like you're at a beach or oceanfront town.
Yes. Yeah,
like Amsterdam like by the water.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going on vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. And obviously it's supposed to be wholesome and warm-hearted and kind of like fluttery, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so like sweet in that regard, but like, you can definitely tell, like if I was to play a video game and the level was on like an ocean front city,
mm-hmm.
this is definitely what I would think I would visualize hearing
in the
level, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah. I think it blended, you know how we mentioned that like Totoro and Ponyo, they have very childish scores. Like it's very catchy so that a kid can, you know, start humming it along. I think Kiki still has a little bit of that, but it's not geared towards children fully. Like it's still a coming of age story, so it does have the essence of movies like The Wind Rises. It's like, okay, we're gonna give you an orchestra, you're gonna feel it and you're gonna enjoy this music, but it's not like a catchy tune, but there's an essence of that there.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
It's interesting how this one didn't have, because, you know, we said all the movies for kids, quote unquote, mm-hmm. had like the intro, like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is like a kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe they had a different, or maybe they just didn't want to do an intro. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like they had a different demographic in mind. Maybe.
Was this the first one of those two? Like, obviously it came out before Ponyo. Did it come out before...
No.
Totoro?
Totoro, if I remember, Totoro was Miyazaki's first Ghibli movie. So this came out right after.
It was like in between. Okay. Yes, okay. Maybe they were trying to be like, oh, this is not just for baby. This is also for older kids. But it still held on to that like
vibe. At this point, his biggest hits were Totoro. And then before he started working with Ghibli, he did a Lupin the Third movie.
Okay.
And as much as I love Lupin the Third, it's very goofy. There's no blood. An action heist anime, it's pretty...
tame?
It's tame. So I feel like not only was he like dipping his toe into the water of what he... can do with a film,
mm-hmm.
but also trying to tell Ghibli like, hey, I can make money, you can trust me, give me money so I can start making the shit that I need to make.
Right.
Yeah, it's I think, I mean, it definitely appeals. It's like a kid's movie, but like, you could obviously say, since the main character is 13,
mm-hmm.
it can appeal to like those 11, 12, 13 year olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In like a general sense or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like Kayla said, not for baby, but, you know, older kids.
But for like preteen, they definitely like I think it's like a preteen just under preteen type of movie. Yeah. For sure.
It just, like, I don't know if you guys felt this way during the movie, but, you know, Taylor, you're a teacher. And as you guys know, back in the day, middle school was like 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. And then high school was, middle school was 4 years. So it was like 5th to 9th. And then 10, 11, 12 was your high school experience. And I feel like we have to go back to that because 8th graders are still children. They are babies. And to throw them into that high school mindset just like makes them adults way too quickly. And I kept feeling that during this movie. I'm like, she's a little girl by herself without her parents having to do a lot of soul searching and figuring out on her own, because she doesn't really go to the people that live in her house for advice. She talks to them a little bit, but a lot of the stuff she has to figure out on her own.
Yeah.
She's just a little girl. Like, how is she supposed to figure that out? I wouldn't have. I would have just started crying.
The main theme definitely of this movie is maturity. And maybe that's why maybe that's why it doesn't resonate as well as the other ones. Cause I'm a grown ass man.
I didn't rate this one on Letterboxd. I only gave it a heart. I couldn't give it a number. Cause if I was a child and seen this, I know I would have given it a 5.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But as an adult, I feel differently. So I'm just like, I just enjoyed it for what it is.
It's still well made. I guess it's just
It's well made for sure. I think to kind of like touch on your point, Kayla, like me working in education. Well, granted, for us in Georgia, I don't know how it is in Florida, but it's first through fifth, and then it's sixth, seventh, eighth, and then we have 9 through 12. So I think eighth graders are still treated as middle schoolers in the state of Georgia. But like, obviously, eighth grade is like the preparatory year. Like, you got to get your shit together because ninth grade is going to be a lot tougher. And the same thing with like fifth grade. Like, I dealt with fourth and fifth grade this past year.
Yeah.
And for the fifth grade, it was like, the way we structured our classes was like, all right, you got to get your shit together because in middle school, because at the school I work at, sixth grade is the literal hardest year for all students.
Yes. It's the break you year.
It's like, it's literally like sixth grade is the hardest year, not from like an academic, not even from a, just an academic standpoint, but like from a just overall quality of life standpoint. Because obviously, like, you get to sixth grade, there's no recess, you don't get a bunch of breaks, you're moving from class to class. Like, you're the classes you have like are different people, and like you have a new teacher each period, not just the same teacher teaching you three different subjects.
Yeah,
like, it's hard. And so, you know, I think it's a situation where I don't necessarily like, I can't necessarily relate, like connect the dots when it comes to Kiki's Delivery Service. And like Zoe said, but like, I can see a lot of the kids that I worked with in Kiki. Where like they, some of them, you know, not all, because I work in a private school and a lot of stuff, these kids just don't have a lot of work ethic just because the parents are fucking loaded. And the tax brackets that these kids are in, are, some of them don't even realize it, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
It's like some of them are a little, try to act more mature than they actually are and end up like stretching themselves too thin when it comes to responsibilities, or just like overall just not like loose, like not being a kid. And it's like, dude, you still have to like be a child.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't try to get caught up in like, oh, I got to do this, and this. And it's like these kids are coming and telling me what their life plans are by the time they're 30. And I'm like, dude, you are 10.
Yeah.
Be a child.
And Kiki's having to do that. Kiki's like, okay, I have to come up with a business plan. I have to come up with what I'm good with. What goods and services can I give to the world? Mm-hmm. Because I got to go back home eventually and tell them what a good witch I've been, and not even go back to live at home. This is where I live now. I've chosen the spot I'm going to live in for the foreseeable future without my parents. That's crazy. I made my mom go with me to the doctors today for blood work, and I'm 32 years old. I told her, I'm like, I have to get a really big blood panel done. I might pass out. Come with me, please. And then after, she got me a little treat because I'm her baby. I had to go by myself, and I hate it. So... I don't know how he did it. I can't.
No judgment here. No judgment here at all.
I always tell the people that I get blood work with, I'm like, hey, I'm prone to passing out, so get me somewhere to lie down, or you're gonna have to carry me. I'm so sorry. So the fact that Kiki is doing all this by herself, math included, like figuring out rent, that's crazy.
Right. Like, and then the way, and when she does her first delivery, and honestly, I feel like as somebody who has done freelance work before, it is, and Zoe, you can attest to this too, when she goes, oh, what do I pay you? And Kiki goes, oh, I hadn't even thought about a price before. I was like, oh God.
Yeah. Right.
It hit me in the chest.
That has hit me. But
that's every artist. Every artist is like, I don't know.
There's a point where, and this is not like a nitpick of mine, it's just when she helps a grandma not only to deliver her ugly fish pie, but she helps her bake it.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, this is too much money. I can't take that. Take it.
What do you mean? Right. Take the money.
But that's the thing. She's a child. She doesn't understand that the goods is also the services. You know, it's like what you've done. And also that part also made me super angry because that little grandmother is so precious. And when we go to her grandkids' house and they're like, grandma made me this ugly pie again. I was like,
I hate this grandma's stupid pie.
Literally, my Hispanic grandma came out. I was like, bueno, si no quiere comerlos. Get hungry. Be hungry. What are you talking about?
Rude. Because you're going to miss those pies.
Later on
in life.
100%.
When she's gone.
I was reaching for my chancleta, and I would have thrown it at the screen. I was like, no, because...
Did anyone else
Grandma's 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah. Did anyone else think she was going to be a witch, too?
That'd have been cool.
The mean little girl?
I didn't.
No.
The grandma.
Oh, the grandma. Yes. I thought that she either, because they hadn't been there in a very long time, and the guy at the watch or the clock tower was like, oh, I haven't seen a witch in forever. I thought the little viejita was either at least friends with a witch or like knew a witch. We didn't get that far.
That one lady, Barsa was her name, I think.
Her assistant?
Yeah, her assistant was like, I think she mentioned something about knowing about witches or something like that.
Something like that. Because she wanted to fly the broom.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I thought she was going to be a witch. And because this was one of Disney's first dubs for this movie.
Mm.
And I thought they were being clever because Debbie Reynolds voices her. Debbie Reynolds, mother of Carrie Fisher, very famous for being the grandma in Halloween Town.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, witch, and nothing happened.
What's the TikTok? Witch.
That's funny. I mean, okay, I do want to talk about as far as, you know, Kiki having to be more of an adult, and then like tying this back into like the creativity side of things, like with her coming of age story being like a metaphor for creativity and creative block. Mm-hmm. When she says flying used to be fun until I started doing it for a living, I was like, oh, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It hurt because like even funny enough, even something like this podcast for sure. Like I think when I started the idea for Nostalgia Plus Ultra, like I had me and Zoe talking about, it, I was like, hey, it started as something just like, I don't even know if you know this, Kayla, but it started as something where I was like, well, Zoe just started watching My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. I was like, I really like the mixtape album, whatever, Nostalgia Ultra by Frank Ocean. I was listening to that on repeat for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just put the two together and we just figure something out. That'd be really cool. We could just start like a podcast. And when me and Zoe started it and when I kind of came to the concept of the idea, I was like, once it starts feeling like a job, I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm.
And I was like, and it's, I'm glad that it hasn't felt like that for we've been doing this for like 3 years now. So I'm glad it hasn't felt like that.
Crazy.
But like, that's something that still like kind of lingers where I'm like, no matter what it is creatively, it's like, once I start feeling like it's part of my daily thing, like it's a job, like I have to get up, I have to do this, I have to do that. Then it becomes less fun. And I thought that was like a really good like point to make for Kiki for sure. Yeah.
It reminded me, because I talk about this with like my art friends who still practice and still like want to get into the art world.
Sorry, I hit my mic.
No, you're good. You're good. I just always reminds me of a gong being smacked and I'm like, yes, I'm recentering. particularly shout out to my friend Jessica. My friend Jessica is in the art world and she gets out there and she applies for different residencies. She applies to be in galleries. She constantly has her art brain on. And I turned my art brain off after I graduated with my BA because art school made me feel like my art was a job and it wasn't a creative outlet for me anymore. And a lot of people, like, the reason why an artist becomes an artist is because someone either told them that they did a good job because it's a personal thing. It's like, oh, I'm good at this. I might as well pursue it. Or they think it's going to be easy, or they have like a natural talent for it. And then people like me, it's an outlet. It's like therapy. It is self-soothing. And when I had to start making work that was judged all the time, and I was bearing my soul every day to teachers for a grade, by the end of my years, I was like, if I make one more piece of art, lock me up, because I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I need to stop. And it's only now. How long has it been since I graduated college? A while. 2019? Yeah.
It's been 10 years for us.
Yeah.
That we started, not that we graduated.
Yeah, graduated. I graduated in 2019, and I only now am trying to like get back into that creative mindset, because I dabble with like art, but not my art, like not sculptural work that I was doing in college. Like that I've kept in the back burner, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to unlock that box again. And it's very scary to think about this thing that used to bring you so much joy at one point to now be seen more as like a chore. And you have to work at making it a joy again. And those are very big thoughts for a little baby Kiki. Like I kept thinking the whole time, like, she's so small. What do you mean she's having this existential crisis?
Yeah, like it was interesting to see like just how, I guess, that when we talk about her losing her powers towards the end of the movie, mm-hmm. right? I think it's that at that point in the movie, I think is when she starts to have that decline.
Yeah.
Because when she talks to Ursula, and one thing that, you know, I thought was interesting, I wrote down in my notes about the movie, was like they introduce this concept that I've known for a long time, that's been told to me by many mentors and even my family members too. Like, what's the concept of like, what's your why? Like, why do you do something? And like, and Ursula basically tells her, like, once you figure that part out, I think your powers will come back to you. Like, once you figure out why you like to fly fast, or like why you are insisted on flying with this broom. Like, once you figure that part out, I think you'll be fine. And so I think, you know, as, you know, people that are creative, or even just like, even with me with basketball, right? And basketball coaching and stuff like that. It's like, why do you do this? Why do you do the thing that you do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's like, it's thought it was like an interesting, like point that they made through the medium of like talking about Kiki, like as a 13-year-old having this, like you said, existential crisis about like why she wants to fly.
Yeah.
And have this business of delivering things.
It's also, and I'm sorry if I interrupted you. It's also that all the other witches supposedly have very specific skills.
Yep.
Flying is just what gets them to and fro. But Kiki's like, no, flying is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just the normal thing, which I thought was really interesting, because sometimes people think that they possess regular schmegular skills, but they turn that into their job and their livelihood. Like, I can talk to anybody and have them talk back to me. I don't necessarily think that's a skill, but I have many friends who are like, Kayla, how do you talk to literally everyone and then they talk back to you? And I'm like, I don't know. Should I have become a motivational speaker? Perhaps, perchance. But that's the only way that I can like see it equal. Like, it's just a thing that she did that was like breathing.
Sure.
And now it's not like breathing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Zoe, I want to pose this question to you, because I kind of want to talk about it. What did you think of Tombo, the boy?
I think Tombo is like very cliche. Like, here's the boy, the movie about a girl. Here's the boy, and he's nice,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying. He's like, not the same as his friends. His friends are the ones she doesn't like. But every scene with him, I was like, girl, speak up. Say you don't like him or something. Oh no, you do like him. Say you don't like his friends. It's just she's always like, I'm not mad. I'm walking away. Leave me alone.
It's a very 13-year-old thing to do.
I know. Piss me off. But then, I don't know, it's just, I don't know. It was, he was there.
Yeah, I just thought it was fun. I wanted to ask like Zoe about it because it's just based on, I don't know why, like your Letterboxd review kind of like popped in my head when I asked the question. It's just because Tombo is a an interesting like male romantic interest character because he's also not great as a candidate for Kiki. Because like, okay, first off, did he call her Kiki at any point during the movie except towards the end?
Miss Witch.
He calls her Miss Witch the entire time. Doesn't even bother to ask what her name is.
Even after she says it's rude to talk to a woman before you've even introduced yourself.
And he still proceeds to go, still calls her Miss Witch.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, I don't know. What did I write in the notes? I think I said, Tombo, ease up, brother. God dang.
He's not the best written male character.
He's not.
But he is there, and he helps her get there at the end.
He's there.
And sometimes, you know what, 13-year-old boys, sometimes they're just there. And that's enough.
Yeah, I mean,
he was nicer than his friends that hates their grandma.
Right.
Yes, very, very true. Right. I just think it was funny how they tried to frame him a little bit, where like, you know, he's like the first boy roughly her age to like try to accept her and like show interest in who she is. I just think the way in which he was written to do it was kind of like a little pushy, just like the overzealous young preteen. You know what I'm saying? It
even
is what it is.
When Kiki gets sick and Osono's like, "Oh, he came by to see you," that part's cute. But then he's like, "When he found out you were sick, he asked to like maybe if he could visit you." It's like, all right, relax,
pump the brakes, brother. What are you doing?
And even Osono was like, that's why I turned him down politely.
Yeah, I was like, Osono, you're what's up. But then she snakes Kiki out and makes her go deliver something to Tombo's house.
Yeah.
I was like, Osono, what are you doing?
Kiki goes, why would you do this to me?
I mean, because so they try to frame him as like the overzealous preteen, like boy her age that like has significant interest in her. And then they try to frame it, this do this weird thing when she's over at the grandma's house where she, I guess, technically stands him up.
Yeah, because but she was sad about it.
He was supposed to pick her up at 6 o'clock. She lost track of time, got caught in the rain, and then didn't. And then Tombo left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I guess, like, in a way, they kind of framed it as like she kind of stood him up a little bit, but then like obviously like Kiki has, you know, is kind of not just a jealous but like is a kind of wary of her outward appearance towards the other people, and she's just like kind of talking about how she hates her dress and stuff like that, and how it was wet. She's like, I can't go in this dress because it's all wet, and you can like tell in her voice that she's about to start crying, and then she like walks away, and so like I don't know. I just thought they try to make it seem like you're supposed to feel bad for Tombo or supposed to be upset with Kiki for leaving him high and dry like that. But again, didn't really like Tombo all that much as like a romantic interest. So it didn't really hit me like that.
Yeah. I didn't see myself being drawn towards Tombo's character. The one who I loved was the artist in the woods.
Ursula.
She was so cool.
Ursula, yeah.
Yeah. I love her. I think that she gave the best advice the whole movie. I think that she invests the most in Kiki. And I love that because typically you need an older person who's been through it before to be like, tell me I'm going to be okay. And then I'm going to, you know, that we're going to be cool. And that's what she was for Kiki.
For sure.
The whole movie.
For sure. And then, okay, I want to pose this question to you, Kayla. I know there's one piece of the puzzle that's missing.
One piece?
That wouldn't... but I still wanted to ask this question.
Yeah.
Is Kiki a magical girl. Remember we talked about
in the traditional sense. Yes. She does have a magic talking creature.
In GG.
But she doesn't have a transformation scene.
Yes.
And what was our third rule?
Has
an item, and she does. It's the broom.
The broom.
She has like iconic items, which is like the broom, the bow. But a magical girl, really, like the biggest thing is that transformation scene. She doesn't have that. She has a transformation scene within. So,
do magical girls get depressed?
Yes.
Oh, yes, wow. They do.
My God,
I wasn't there for that episode, so.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon constantly cries. That she goes through it every day.
No, but I know. But Kiki goes through like a depression in this movie.
Yes,
Madoka Magica, you could say, is one long depression.
Gotcha.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I've been meaning
that movie. That show is crazy.
I've been meaning to watch that one.
I'm really? Trying to, okay. to watch. I've only ever seen bits and pieces because when I was younger, I'm like, people warned me about it. They're like, I don't think this is for you. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's all these cute little girls and they're spinning on their outfits change. And it's pink. And then you see like literally the most insane Eldritch horror
ever
come out their bodies. So yeah, I keep avoiding it. But I should watch it. That's probably going to be like my Halloween anime this year.
Ooh, Halloween Madoka Magica episode.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we could be fun. I'll write it down on the list of like conceptual episodes. Because I do think a magical girl episode series would be cool to talk to do.
You know I'm down.
I know you're down for sure. but, you know, segue, I guess. I want to talk about Gigi. Because
the
littlest of guys.
Andre can go first.
So here's the thing. I love him. Yes. He's awesome. He's a cat, and I have a cat. He's a little black cat. And
dang, I keep hitting this freaking mic.
He looks like gong.
That arc where he pretends to be the stuffed animal is funny.
So cute. Yes.
He never talks again. He never talks again?
Oh, boy.
Ever again. Okay, so here's the
thing.
Why? Because she's losing her magic.
But she got it back.
So I watched, but not fully. Not in the way that it was before. Her childhood is gone. So this is the thing. I watched this movie in theaters.
That's what I thought.
Yes, and I sat next to my good friend, Natalie.
Oh yeah.
You can follow on Letterboxd. Miss Nat Marie.
Yeah.
Follow her on Letterboxd. We the entire movie were doing this. We're like, they're gonna talk again. They've gotta talk again. The movie has 5 minutes left. And then they never talk again. And we were pissed because we had never, either of us had never seen it before. And I the entire time like, what are you talking about? You mean you never get to hear him again? Let me tell you something. If I had a pet animal that could talk to me and suddenly could never again, I'm calling the police.
That's the thing. I get it, right? It's she's growing up. And I think 13 years old is kind of like when everyone thinks like, oh, you're growing up. Like, you're not a kid anymore. You could have done that a different way. If I used to be able to talk to Milo and then one day I couldn't understand him anymore, flying. I'm depressed about that.
Forever.
No, for real.
I literally was like, what I wanted in the moment where she saved Tombo is for Gigi to jump on her shoulder and then go, I missed you.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I couldn't resolve. And I just sat there and I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Never again? Are you crazy? No. I am so pissed because the thing is, how I took it, yes, it's about your childhood being over and now you're an adult and you have to do things on your own. But the whole thing is that every witch has a companion. So there is a part of you that stays lighthearted and childlike so that you can be like connected to all the magic in the world. And I thought that once she resolved that she's like, I can be who I want to be and still have this job, give me some words.
Yeah.
Give me sign language. It pissed me off.
No, yeah, that's tough.
Did you watch it in English?
Honestly, I did the same thing.
I saw it in English.
Yeah. So, I don't know, for people who care, it's voiced by the late, great Phil Hartman.
Yep.
So it would have been great to hear him speak again.
We get nothing. And then he's a father. I don't get to hear him talk to his kids.
Yeah.
And then the kids go with her on the trips. Can't she hear the kids? What's the rule?
Yeah, but
what's the rule? Are they half normal cat? What's happening?
That's a good question.
I love that little skinny black cat got with a big, like, chunky white furry cat. And I was like, I see what you did. I see how it perpetuates.
Wait a second, Taylor.
But give him the Jamaican, flag. Give him the Jamaican flag.
That's so crazy.
In post, if I make this into a clip, in post, I'm gonna get the Zorro Jamaican flag.
Oh my god.
Oh, wow. That's yeah. So funny. Wow.
At least. Oh, that's so funny. But that's exactly what I thought.
Oh man. That's so funny.
They did it.
This is how you know me and Zoe been friends for 10 years. Because I literally was looking at him like, please get the reference. Please get it. Oh.
Oh god.
Holy shit. That's so funny.
That's very funny.
Oh, man. But, like, yeah, I did my notes. I was like, okay, that man's a father, okay?
He's a father.
A father.
He loved himself a rude cat. Because I think in the movie he goes, she's rude.
She's and snooty.
He's like, she's snooty. And then he's like, I like him a little mean to me. I was like.
Right. But, yeah, I do think, like, him, like, when he crawls up on her shoulder at the end. And, okay, to be fair, but, honestly, in my opinion, I think the ending was so, like, abrupt to me.
Yes.
And then the epilogue kind of, like, fixed that a little bit. But I was like, she saves Tombo from near death, correct? Yep. She lowers him down. Also, sidebar. I thought it was so funny how the news broadcast was recounting the events like a fucking play-by-play NBA game.
Yes.
And he's falling from the sky, and his girl's coming to catch him, and she swings and miss. She grabs him, but she can't get him. So I was like, he's falling to his death. Oh, the girl caught him, and she's lowering him down. Like, bro, relax.
Right.
Re-fucking relax.
Not a lot of things happened in that town. They wanted to know what was up.
Right. Even the grandma was like, oh, just when it got good, the connection ended. I'm like, these people are dying, by the way.
To me, that grandmother is Hispanic. She is chismosa. She wants to know. She doesn't care what the ending is. She wants to know what's going on. ¿Qué está pasando ahí en el televisión? She's like, turn on the TV again. I was like, that's my abuela if I've ever seen her in media.
That's crazy. But yeah, like I said, like the ending was like she saves Tombo. Gigi crawls up on the shoulder.
Yep.
And then just cut to credit.
Yep.
I was like, there's no, and then also Osano gets her water breaks and she goes to get pregnant and goes to cat birth. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay. I was like, all right, then I guess. In that regard, I was like, I wasn't super thrilled with how it ended like that. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe was like some wishful thinking that during the epilogue, she learns how to get her magic back and she can talk to Gigi again. Maybe that's just like wishful thinking. I guess.
Someone should have given me a bonus reel. Something. Just let me know. But who was I? I saw the movie with Johnny as well and Jolie, and they were like, but that's the thing about growing up. I'm like, don't talk to me. Actually, don't talk to me. Because what do you mean? Because I came here for a little happy little time, and I expected something totally different.
I mean,
the movie is still good.
Yeah.
But
she writes to her parents after the first few things of credits. She writes to her parents like, I'm being a good witch. And so it's like, okay, I guess.
Right.
But what
happened with Gigi, though?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we want to know.
Exactly.
Also, I want to see your mom's pet. and I want to see your grandma's pet.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see them.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they died.
Interesting.
In my head, the mom has a pet turtle. A little turtle in the herbal garden. That's I would assume
they're cats.
I would say, are cats not standard issue for witches in that universe?
I don't know. I don't think so.
The other witch
did
had
the other
a cat.
One have?
Yeah, because the one that was like mean that she flew with her, so you had a cat, but it looked like more like it was like the Egyptian like neck ring sphinx type.
Right. I don't know. I just feel like when you have like a familiar, like I'm thinking of the Disney Channel show with oh my god, the witch with the white hair and the gold tooth. Oh my god, why can't Ida the Owl Lady, Owl House. In Owl House, any animal can be your familiar. You just have to attach to it. So it really just depends on what creature calls to you. And I don't know, an herbalist to me feels like they'd have a turtle.
Land
animal.
Yeah, land animal. I mean, I'd say cat
is
land
also
animal,
a land animal.
But I get what you're trying to say.
You get what I mean. Old, wise,
old
turtle. Old, goblin gold.
Yeah, but I in my head, it was like a Game of Thrones situation where you're born with a cat next to you, a black cat next to you, just kind of grow up with that cat.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's just a standard issue. Like, it's like, here's your black cat when you're born. And, you know, I thought it was cool. I think Gigi is funny. He serves as like a cynical presence for her. That very cynical voice in your head that tells you that certain ideas are not great.
Right.
Or like maybe that kind of voice in your head that like that has like certain thoughts. Like, obviously, Kiki's not going to call that other witch rude, but like, technically, like through Gigi, because she thought it. Way on her face, she thought it. But like, Gigi's going to be one to say it and not Kiki.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was really funny. Y'all have anything else? I think this is episode kind of short. We didn't have that much to talk about with this one.
Well,
we were specific with this one. We knew exactly what we wanted. We didn't even plan this out in the beginning. We just knew movie good, ending not so much. Anything else in between?
It's definitely my least favorite.
Ooh. I mean,
it's definitely my least favorite Miyazaki movie.
It's probably one that I would watch the least amount of times over, because like I go back to these movies for specific feelings and reasons. And again, if I had seen this movie as a child,
it'd be different.
I totally understand that this would have been a part of my personality, but my magical girl was Sailor Moon, so I missed out on this experience. It might be on the lower end for me. It's bad, because they're all good. It's just not.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say, is that it doesn't have that trademark Miyazaki, like, you better respect the fucking environment, buddy.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that in there.
It doesn't have that.
That or like the war is bad sentiment in it at all. So I think, sorry, that was really funny. That's my own joke. but like, it doesn't have that in it. I guess it might just be because it's like an early Miyazaki. He wasn't as cynical and upset about the human race.
I think it's based on a book. I think.
Oh.
I believe that as well, but it's also that Miyazaki didn't know how to write Kiki. So one of his artists that was working on the movie had a 13-year-old girl. And he was like, can you help me write about what a 13-year-old girl is like? So there's outside sources to this, you know, to this movie.
Yeah.
And it was based on a book.
There you go.
By Eiko Kodono? I'm saying that correctly. Cool. Yeah.
I have a tag on my letterbox that's called Movies That Feel Like Magic. And I will say that I didn't put that tag for this movie. Because even though it's a magical movie, it doesn't feel as like whimsical or magical than other movies have made me feel.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a movie.
Because Kayla, today we've been forced to think. In our movie group chat, we were talking about nostalgia and war, and now this fucking movie. Hey, buddy, grow up. This day has been tough.
Oh God. What were y'all talking about? What movie?
Listen, someone dripped sadness in the water and everybody drinking it in our group chat.
So our friend Cameron, who's very young, sent a picture of her sister and her cousins at like the premiere of the Avengers, and she was 10. And it just reminded me, I said, throwback to when I was one of the two kids excited for an Iron Man movie because no one knew who Iron Man was. But the only other kid who was excited was like the weird kid everyone was like mean to. And I tried to be friends with him, but no one was nice to him.
Oh, man.
So and then I got sad thinking about that. And then I started watching.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's because Sam sent a TikTok in the chat about Chris Evans talking about like, oh, now, you know, they get to hang out with my buddies. And who he's referencing is all the Avengers, you know, that I used to act with him constantly. So, yeah, a little emotional for everybody. I've been avoiding the group chat. I just went in. I'm like, feel your feelings, pookies. And then
right,
I left.
Right, right.
And the passage of time comes for us all.
Yeah.
As opposed to me watching Ballerina last night with my family and going, yeah, Anna de Armas can shoot me with a flamethrower. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't care.
What did you give Ballerina?
3.5. It's a good action movie.
And that's about
it. They do some stuff towards the end of the movie or certain story beats that don't. They kind of like come up and go as quick as they came. And I think at first I was going to rate it lower because, so you got to go in like 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Because obviously like when, have y'all seen Ballerina? Y'all seen it or no?
I gave it 1.5.
Have y'all seen Ballerina?
I have.
So do you plan to watch it?
I was
okay.
I got my fix with the 4 John Wicks.
I think in terms of John Wick movies, this is definitely the lowest rated John Wick movie because John Wick does make an appearance and he is the highlight of the movie.
Gotcha.
Well, the thing is that they were very much like the entire movie. She's like, I gotta do it like a girl, like how a girl would, because girls have to girl it their girl way, and I'm like. Shut up! It's so annoying. I'm like, just fight. Just fight for real. And then they never give her a gun. She has a gun for 2 minutes, but she has 5 Gorbunglian grenades. Because girling it. That's why I gave it 1.5.
Oh my God.
Why can't they just let her be an assassin?
No facts. In terms of lower action movies. In terms of action, I might have to actually after that. In terms of action movies, I thought it was just an enjoyable action movie for what it gave me. I think that one thing that I guess because you know this is gonna sound this is a crazy comparison. No, don't look at me crazy when I do this.
Don't stare again.
I got this.
It reminds me of the Brave Little Toaster.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't look at me crazy when I say this, okay? But it gave me a similar, like the main character and how they wrote her was similar to how they wrote Bruce Wayne in the Robert Pattinson Batman. Where you look at me crazy, where it's very early in their days of doing whatever they're doing. Like with Robert Pattinson's Batman, he was what, like year 3 of Batman or something like that?
Year 2.
Because
it's year 1 comic book, and we could go for 3 hours on this, but I won't.
Okay. And then with Eve is the main character's name. this is like a year and some like 12 years. Like she grew up in this like assassin fighting family. And then like for the past, like we were with her at the beginning of her, like really starting to branch out and get good at what she does. And then they skip 6 months. So she's only been really doing what she's been doing for like 6 months. So she gets her ass handed to her a lot. And that's one thing that in like, as far as a John Wick movie, when I'm thinking of John Wick, I'm like, just start whooping everybody's ass. I don't care if you're a Mary Sue or not. Like Mary Sue, be damned. I don't give a fuck. Beat their ass.
Correct.
But she continuously like loses and has to like,
because she has to get up and fight like a girl.
She has to figure out different ways.
And that's how she has to figure it out.
She has to figure out different ways to win fights, but they're never in like clever or conventional or like unconventional ways. Like
no, it's like it's a grenade.
The answer is like, I'm gonna put a grenade strap on this dude and then close the door on him so the grenade explodes. Or like I'm gonna wrap a grenade belt around somebody and then hang them with it and then the grenade belt explodes. Or right. I'm gonna strap
something new.
I'm gonna
grenade behind the table. how realistically how many grenades can one have and not get hit with shrapnel?
No facts, because they throw grenades. So when she finds out that one sub villain is her sister, and they guess how they try to get rid of them? They throw grenades into the house, kill them.
And she survives the grenade because she's grenade girl, and I just.
But then the third thing, she puts a grenade in somebody's mouth, duct tapes the grenade around them, and then hangs them off of the balcony so they explode. And she does that like four times.
Yeah, the movie should have been how many deaths can we give you with grenades?
Yeah, and then like she kills somebody with a flamethrower like 80 times. Like she basically half her kills in the movie is just her getting a flamethrower and just burning people.
Yeah,
it's not like, even really her doing anything for real.
No.
Okay.
Before
I have to leave in 10 minutes.
Before we go, I just want to announce it's a nice little personal moment. Kiki's Delivery Service was movie 1001.
Aww.
Lifetime.
Movie
1000 was yesterday. Phoenician Scheme, very good. Especially if you like
Wes Anderson. I need to go watch that.
I need to see that too.
It's a spy movie, but it's Wes Anderson. It's
okay.
Fucking good. You need to pay attention in the beginning because there's a lot of
okay
political mumbo jumbo that if you don't pay attention in the middle, you'll be like,
huh?
Okay.
But it's good. Okay, it's really fucking funny.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think we'd get on that tangent about Ballerina, but you know, it is what it is. It was
I'm
great.
I'm so sorry.
All right. That's been everything from us. I've been Taylor, aka Nostalgia, as told by Zoe. K likes everything. See you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.